Hello and welcome to this, the Foreign Podcast. This is episode 14. Creeping up towards a year? No,
nowhere near a year.
Oh my God, like, I don't know.
14
I get
times
two
is like 28 weeks. It's half a year.
Oh my fucking Lord.
Like, six months, mate.
Is it 6 months? This is 6 months.
Well, so I was half right. Yeah, you were half right. Yeah.
My name is Patrick Garrett. I'm recording this in Montpellier in the south of France. And joining me is...
My name is Mike Bowden. I'm in Odense in Denmark.
Woo!
It's on the little island.
Gets better every time, Mike. Slick, slick.
Little island called Funen in the middle. Everyone knows Copenhagen. And that's also sort of on an island called Zealand. And obviously people have heard of Shakespeare and Jutland and stuff. And then that's the bit connected to Germany. And there's an island in between those two. And that's where I live.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
So near Copenhagen. And I went to see you years ago now.
Yeah, it is.
Wasn't it? Like, and I flew to Copenhagen. And when I came back from Copenhagen, there were people, as you told me there would be, waving little flags.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I still can't believe. And funnily enough, we're going to be talking about flags today, aren't we, Mike?
We are indeed. We are indeed. And just as a tiny aside, talking about visiting each other, Facebook reminded me today that it was 2 years ago today that landed in Montpellier.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And you came to pick me up. Yeah.
Come back, Mike.
Yeah.
We miss you.
If you sort out some flights and they don't cost, like, you know, a kidney to get to you, then I'll definitely come. But
I'll keep looking out for some flights from Copenhagen to Montpellier. You were lucky to be able to fly direct. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, no, I think the last time I came, that was the time when I had to change, and I think you picked me up, didn't you? What was the just along the coast? Yeah, that really famous town,
Marseille.
Just along the coast from you. Is it?
Yeah, that's,
yeah, Marseille.
Yeah. It's the next one along. Yeah,
yeah, that's it was the next one along. Yeah, it was Marseille. Yeah.
Just there we go.
That very little known town of Marseille.
That small place.
Yeah, it's a small place, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. So what are we talking about this week?
Well, this week, I mean, some of our all of our listeners who are live in England or perhaps are British will have heard of this, but I'm not sure if the Danish listeners or the new German or French listeners, et cetera, would know. But there's been a huge controversy in England recently because Nike, the New England shirt they're going to wear the World Cup, doesn't have the St. George's cross on it.
And my God,
yeah. And what Nike have done? I mean, it doesn't usually have it on the chest. They usually have, you know, the three lions, the emblem, but usually have on the collar, I believe, the St. George's cross or somewhere else on the shirt. But what Nike have done is they've changed the colours. So they've kept the sort of flag with the cross, but they've changed the colours of the flag. And
I was reading about this before. So they're saying that they've changed it because it's supposed to be a sort of copy of the kit that the 66 World Cup team trained in or something.
That's right. It was, there's different colours. They said that there was like red on their training kits or something for the 66 World Cup team. And I've read what you've read. It says, but what it does, you see, it adds navy, light blue and purple. And also red is obviously quite traditional, but there's different shades of red. And if you're that way kind of inclined, which unfortunately a lot of people are, that could sort of slightly maybe
be problematic,
resemble some kind of LGBTQ plus thing.
I saw a quote from Big Joey Barton.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter, saying,
ex-footballer,
keep woking them out of football.
Yeah, keep woking them out of football.
Sorry, of course, ex.
Yeah, Joey Barton, by the way, is a kind of an ex-footballer who has emerged as a kind of, I don't know, extremely right-wing misogynist recently. But anyway, he's actually said that women shouldn't commentate on the men's game. What do they know? They've never played it. Stuff like that. But
sensible solutions for a modern Europe, yes, Mike. Yeah.
But the problem is, you see, and it is a problem because, I mean, they say, again, for those of you who don't know, the last time England won the World Cup was in 1966. So, but Nike aren't stupid. Well, you could say they are stupid, but they're not.
Okay.
They know what they're doing. And the English FA, the Football Association, also kind of know what they're doing, but they've both come out and said the FA has defended the St. George's Cross design on its New England kit, saying it's not the first time different colours have been used. Nike said it was never their intention to offend, but you know, they knew what they were doing. But obviously things like this, it says here in a statement, Nike said, "We have been a proud partner of the FA since 2012, blah, blah, blah. Together with the FA, the intention was to celebrate the heroes of 66. The trim on the cuffs takes its cues from the training gear worn by England's 1966 heroes, with gradient of blues and reds topped with purple. The same colours also feature an interpretation of the flag on the back of the collar."
So is the badge on the front? They've still got the lions on it and the shield and all of
that. Yeah, it's got the shield with the three lions on it and same colour. There's no change there. The kit is obviously white with blue trim, but it does have this new kind of colour trim on the sleeves, on the end of the sleeves now.
And on the back of the collar.
Yeah, and on the back of the collar. But that's pretty much it, really. And but still,
didn't the Prime Minister wade in?
He did. Well, both leaders they stood united. Pat,
it's brought the country
together.
Brought
the country together politically. Yeah. Rishi Sunak says, when it comes to our national flags, we shouldn't mess with them because they're a source of pride, identity, who we are, and they're perfect as they are. Mr. Sunak said, and Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, told The Sun newspaper, "The flag is used by everybody. It's a unifier. It doesn't need to be changed. We just need to be proud of it. So I think they should reconsider this and change it back," he said. Which is a bit...
Change it back to what? So basically just a red cross.
Yeah, basically just the white and the red. Yeah, cross. Just, give us our flag back. Pat. And
take back control, Mike.
Yeah, take back control of the flag. And obviously the debate has raged. And, I listen to quite a few football podcasts, and one of them is from The Guardian. So they also kind of delve into the politics. And we were in on it. We mentioned it sort of earlier anyway, but a very good journalist called Barney Rone, basically just said it was a lose-lose. I mean, it was an own goal from both sides. Is okay. That the FA must have known what they were doing. Nike wanted a reaction. They got a reaction now. And now there's this debate, which no one really is coming out looking, the whole thing is just a bit of a mess, really. And now it's escalated to, I saw the other day, which was... hilarious, is that there is a Tory minister, I'm just going to get his name up right now, who wants to have Tory MP Henry Smith. I don't actually know the specific role he's got. Well, I do know the role, but I don't know actually what it is. I couldn't explain it to you, but it sounds important. It says he's the he's like the all party chairman of the Conservative Party.
Okay.
And he believes we should now have a minister for flags.
Okay.
We should have a flag minister. And
with all due respect, like, what the fuck would a flag minister do?
Well, he would make sure that things like that, Pat, wouldn't happen
again. I tell
again,
you what, Mike, I want that fucking job.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great job. And say, like, people could come to me, "Shall we change the colour of this flag?" I say, "No. No, you can't."
And as I said, as I sent to you on X a couple of weeks ago. Now, again, we need to maybe cue our kind of when I say foreign listeners, I mean listeners who don't reside in the UK and maybe don't know much about it. There's a newspaper called the Daily Express, which is basically for 65-year-old plus people who are very kind of jingoistic. And,
I think you're being kind there, Mike,
and afraid of globalization. But anyway, it says here that an Express poll needs more input is attached to an article about the need to protect our flag. And there's a poll there that says, should the UK introduce a minister for flags?
I think it says a minister, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's someone who can't write properly, but there's 1% who were undecided.
Okay.
15% no, and 84% want it. So
fuck it hell.
And you know, and they are the people who kind of voted us out of Europe. So don't underestimate their sway.
So that's the
okay. background for this podcast is the football and a Nike changing. The thing is, though, you know, at football matches, I don't know. In my experience growing up in the UK, waving, especially the St. George's Cross, anywhere outside of a football match, is kind of seen as just incredibly sort of hard right wing, sort of nationalist. Whereas during a football match,
it's completely fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, it becomes a symbol of we're all kind of this unity. Together. Yep. Yeah, unity type thing. And so the fact that Nike has kind of removed that from the shirt intentionally, and B, really, as the Danes say, thrown petrol on the fire by making the colours the ones that they are. I mean, what were they thinking?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty tricky. To be honest, like when you sent me this and I started thinking about it, at first I was just like, oh my God, here we go again, sort of thing. Just the right wing nutters having a bit of a fit.
Yeah.
But then when I actually read about it, it was just like I said to you, like before we started recording this, it's just like, have you actually met England? Yeah. You know, it's just like, I'm not really surprised. I was thinking about like what would happen if Nike, for example, created a kit for the French team and the tricolour was like purple, green and pink or something. Do you know what I mean? There would be just be absolute insanity. Yeah. Like it literally wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? So I cannot ever envisage that happening. You know, it's anybody that's ever listened to this podcast knows that, you know, I'm pretty anti-national, you know, but like I can fully understand why people who are really nationalistic are going mental. Yeah. Because, you know, there's not really much more of a sort of, if you like, a positive showing of nationalism than international sport. You know, it's pretty much, it really is on that sort of like grey line between, like, I like watching sport. I don't watch much football, I've got to be honest, at all. But I like watching football, and I do actually like watching like really big matches. Like I watched the World Cup, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we watched some football when I was over a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we watched England, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in that kind of like grey area where I kind of have to turn off my politics and just go, okay, well, this is just, you know, this is fine because it's just a massive occasion and everyone's screaming and shouting and it's really exciting and bloody blah. Obviously, there's a pretty dark side to all of that.
Especially when England lose a match, yeah. But
well, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
We start smashing our own country up. Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I'm really not surprised that there's been a backlash in inverted commas against it, because it's exactly the sort of thing, you know, for just to use France as an example, if it happened here, you know, the far righters and probably a lot of the not so far righters as well would go really bonkers about it. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't. I'm surprised by Nike. Oh, yeah, you know, fine, okay. It's like it's obvious that there's a sort of sensational aspect to it, if you like, but why? Why would they do that?
Yeah, that's it. Why? It kind of doesn't really make any sense as to why to do it. You could have just kept the St. George's Cross and what they said when they had these on the sleeves, on the bottom of the sleeves of the T-shirt, they could have just put those stripes there and just left it there. And you've got the St. George's Cross and you've got that little tribute to the 66 team and that's it. They knew what they were doing. I mean, they're not, you know, they really, it's Nike, you know, they're not stupid.
But surely they could have actually seen that, like, fucking around with a country's flag on the national football team's shirt is going to be problematic. Like, I looked at the...
That they're going to wear to the World Cup.
Well, yeah, this is it. Like, you know, I think I read the article I read, like, when I was sort of prepping for this episode. I think it was on the Metro, which, if you're not British or you're not like particularly knowledgeable about Britain, it's a free paper, I think, in London.
Yeah, free paper.
And it was the...
And you get what you pay for, usually.
Yeah, yeah. at the bottom of the article, I mean, like the, you know, obviously the comments are just full of a bit of a cesspit at the bottom. And the first one was just like, you know, can you imagine doing this to like the stars and stripes on the American kit? Or this is what I mean. It's just if I take it to like any other country kind of thing, it's just like, what the hell? Like, you know, why it's like it's the national football team's kit. You know what I mean?
But
surely, like, there's no other place where like the national flag is going to be sort of untouchable, like more untouchable even than, you know, than on the kit of the national football team. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very strange decision. I got a Big Lebowski'd when I. when I was, I don't know if anyone has seen the Big Lebowski, but Walter.
I've seen it, Mike.
Walter, when he, the big guy with the beard, when he kind of feels a little bit pressured about the bowling score, he starts to bring up Vietnam as a kind of, and I wrote on Facebook something about that, you know, I wanted to provoke a reaction. I suppose I got one. I just said, you know, it doesn't really matter. If you don't like it, don't buy it. And and I pretty much got sort of, you know, my buddies died face down in the mud for that.
Oh, no.
for that flag. And how dare you say it's not important? I'm saying, look, you know, all you know, people have died. But, you know, did they die for the flag, though, or did they die, like, you know, for maybe the citizens of the country? But yeah, it does transcend. Which kind of maybe brings us on to it, the next thing, because I think we're both in agreement that yeah, both sides, it's just a lose, right? It's just a lose.
It's just a bit weird.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I don't know why they would have done that. Surely, yeah, more than anything, surely aren't they like jeopardizing their sort of contract as like the supplier of the national kit or whatever? You know what I mean? It just seems a bit weird.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, their employers are the Football Association.
Okay.
And so, and the Football Association are the ones who kind of rubber stamped it. So they're also saying they claim as well that this isn't the first time that it's not the first time that different colours have been used on the flag. So there is, so it really is a kind of, the overriding sentiment, I think, against this is that it really does look like the LGBTQ plus flag. Because especially, I don't know if you've seen, if people know it, but what's been added to the rainbow flag now are these kind of, there's pink and light blue and brown and black, but they're kind of as arrows. And if you look at, I'll link it and I'll put the new Nike flag as the thumbnail for the podcast. But where the flag meets in the middle, where the colours meet in the middle with the dark blue, light blue and purple, they kind of meet in the middle as arrows. So it really is sort of very kind of similar in design as well. There are some design similarities at least. So, you know, which is, you know, I'm all for it, but it's a hornet's nest. And
I think it's hilarious, but I don't really understand it. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I was there when France won the World Cup in, when was it, 2000 and what?
I can't even remember. I don't care.
6 years ago or something, or 8 years ago or whatever it was. And freaking hell, yeah, I just can't imagine that, you know, I've never seen anything more French in my life put it that way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There were people dancing on cars. You know, there were flags absolutely everywhere. You know what I mean? I don't, like you said, there's no, there's not really a safer place to wave the national flag than at an international football game. So yeah, a bit weird, but yeah.
It kind of reminds me a bit of, you know, the, I know a lot of people like him and we don't have to go into that, but what's his name? The guy who plays Borat and, it's just like, Sacha Baron Cohen. That's right. Mm. You know, you walk into a room with someone who, you know, has got really extreme ideas. You create a character to get them to express those ideas in what they think is a comfortable environment. And then you take the Mickey out of them. And, and it's just like, it seems to be that's kind of what Nike has done. I'll tell you what we'll do.
I mean, fair play. I mean, it's pretty funny, you know.
That's it. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put sort of LGBTQ plus sort of like, but not, you know, not 100%, but we'll make it, you know, and then we'll put it on the back of the England shirt. Yeah. And then we can see all these red faced, crazy people just, you know, it's just.
And it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Everybody looks bad, Pat. Everybody looks bad. And the irony is, I'm going to sort of move on, if you don't mind. And
Feel free.
The idea, and again, I think we've established in some way we kind of support or understand at the very least the sort of the uproar. But what is interesting to me is that St. George was Roman.
Okay.
And the flag itself was actually its connection to the Genoese flag, and it was only during the Crusades that Richard the Lionheart kind of adopted the flag as English or as the flag of England.
But I was reading about this before. Weren't there three different colours or something? Like there was the red one. There was I don't know why I started this because I literally can't remember. I just like read it on Wikipedia earlier, but like basically, yeah, I think it was all to do with the Crusade that they picked that flag basically. Mm.
But the St. George's Cross was actually used by quite a few other countries at the same time. Mm. So even though the Crusades history buffs, I think ended in something like year 300 and something or whenever it was. Now, St. George as a Crusader knight miniature, but anyway, St. George himself was Roman, and wasn't even English, which I thought was quite interesting, and I didn't actually know that, you know.
There's not much sense in nations, Mike, we all know that.
Yeah, but...
You know what I mean?
But it's something...
I think there is actually a link between the red in the English flag and the red in the French flag as well.
All right.
Yeah, I was reading. I read about the history of the tricolour before.
I want to know about that.
I did know something about it because it's basically a revolutionary symbol, and it was first used actually just after the revolution, and just. The three colors, if you don't know, like I'd be surprised if you didn't, but like the French flag is like three vertical stripes, and they're all equal, and you have it's red, no, blue, white, and red. Oh god, can't even fucking remember. Yeah, it's blue, white, and red. Jesus.
Yeah.
So the white is the symbol of French royalty.
Right.
The blue is the color of Paris. And the red is the symbol of the Garde Nationale, which was the sort of the militia during the revolution. So the idea was that the two colors, the colors of the La Ville de Paris, the city of Paris, and the National Guard, were like surrounded the white of royalty, basically saying that they were more powerful than it. So, like, if you ever watch sort of like revolutionary films, you know, about the revolution in France, a lot of people are wearing this rosette, and the idea is that the royalty has been diminished. It's kind of it's submissive to the colors of the National Guard and the city of Paris, which is where it comes from. So like before that, it was the flag of France was effectively a sort of like royal sigil, you know, seeing the fleur-de-lis on a blue background, and it's the red is the color of Paris, like below it.
Oh,
sorry, the color of the National Guard below it.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. And actually, it's still evolving. In fact, during the 70s, the color was changed. The blue was changed so that the service protocolaire, which is the sort of the governmental service which handles like state visits and stuff like that, actually used they changed the color of the blue in the flag, so it was more like the blue of the European flag.
All right.
And it was actually changed back in 2020 by Macron. He abandoned it, so now it's back to the sort of like revolutionary blue.
Okay, so it's actually changed in kind of my lifetime, and I haven't really.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's still changing, but like I said before, I mean the history of the flag. I mean it's an amazing story, really. I mean, like, and it wasn't actually adopted until like as the French flag until 1794. So that's like 6 years after the revolution.
Yes.
So there you go. And the idea is that it's basically, you know, the idea is that it symbolizes this idea of liberté, égalité, and fraternité, so, you know, which is the sort of the motto of the revolution, basically. This sort of like three aspects of the French state. So there you go. But like the idea of like somebody fucking with that for a football shirt, I mean, that's just absolutely out of the question, you know.
Yeah. And the Danes. I was just going to tell the history of the history of the story behind the Danish flag, because the Danes they're very similar to America in their relationship with their flag, and there's actually sort of a myth around the Danish flag, and it says here that there was a battle at the Lion Denise or something in Estonia on the 15th of June 1912, where Valdemar II won the northern Estonia. The legend has it, Pat, that the Estonians sort of rushed the Danish sort of camp where all the soldiers were, and the Danes were hard pressed. But the only way they could win the battle, or the only reason they won the battle was because the Archbishop Arne Sunesson, under the battle, held his arm up to God to pray for victory.
Okay.
So, and as long as he could hold his arm up in the air, the Danes kind of like gained territory. And every time he got tired and let his arm sink, the Estonians sort of counterattacked, and
so he had to keep his arm in the air.
Yeah, it was looking like that they were actually going to win, but in that moment, Pat, in that very moment when all hope was lost, you know, and they were looking around, the Danish flag, which is called the Dannebrog, all of a sudden appeared in the sky and was floating down on the earth. Floating down towards the earth, and King Valdemar, he grabbed the flag and showed it to his troops, Pat, and together they beat the Estonians. Yeah. And that's a legend. Obviously, it's a legend. They all know it's a legend, but yeah, I've been told that legend by many different people. So it's something that it's kind of like we know this probably isn't actually true, but we like to sort of think it's true. So they have this very sort of romantic attachment.
Part of the national story.
Yeah, it's a part of the national story, even though, you know, it might have happened. But the Danish pact, it just appeared out of nothing, you know, and spurred them on to victory. But the Danes' relationship to their flag, as you said, you mentioned it at the top of the show, so we're tying it all very nicely together. Is that it really is used as, well, it's what Keir Starmer said, as a unifier. It's it took me a while to kind of get used to it, because I just thought, like, you know, people have it in their back gardens. When you meet people at the train, you have Danish flags. Birthdays, you have the Danish flag on the table. A friend of mine, he was going to a confirmation, and he wrote on a card, like, you know, just whatever. And then you can buy these small kind of Danish flag stickers, and you sort of put them on the card and on the envelope. But that's a sort of a, just as a way of celebration. So the Danish flag for the Danes is really something that just brings them together and gives them a sense of community. And I really don't get the sense from them. Obviously, they're a very, like, a minority, but the see it in any way nationalistic, like, you know, or like, we are the best country in the world sort of thing. They're just sort of very proud of it, and they, and it just brings them together. Even at my son's school, when he was finished fifth form and sort of graduated from school, you know, they sung the national anthem, and there was these sort of two, you know, those sort of ceremonial flags on the long wooden poles hanging in the background. And I'm like, yeah, because again, for me, when I see a flag, I just get triggered straight away. I mean, some kind of, you know, nationalist nightmare. But so my brain automatically thinks, like, yeah, why do we have to sing the national? We all know what country we're in, you know. Well, what's it got to do with Denmark that my son's finished school? Denmark, you know. But it's it means something completely different to them.
No, like you said, it's very American. I mean, if I don't know if any of our listeners have ever been to America, but like you see the flag a lot. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if you ever obviously probably watch like a lot of American TV, a lot of American films. You know, this you often see, very often, you know, people flying the flag outside of their houses, for example. You know, it's not like that. That isn't a myth. I mean, that really is real. And, yeah, you know, like I said, at the airport, when I saw people waving flags, I was just like, what the hell? But like you said, like, you know, it doesn't have the same, it doesn't have the same sort of impact. You know, that it's effectively the person waving the flag is like really right wing, as it would in Britain. Yeah. or and definitely in France. I mean, you know, it's not.
Okay, so it's the same in France.
Exactly the same here. Like, yeah, basically. I think I've said this before, but like most official buildings, like, have two flags outside. They have the French flag and the European flag.
Yeah, you have said that. Yeah.
And sometimes you have like the regional flag. So I live in Occitanie, which is like right down in the south. And the,
yes, you know, and it's 27 degrees today.
It was pretty nice today. Yeah. So you have this sort of you have this like gold cross on a red background.
Okay.
And so you often see that like flying outside of the mairie, which is like the sort of like local town hall or whatever. But apart from like state buildings and schools, you know, often you'll see, like, in fact, all schools, I think it's part of its law, I think they have to fly it outside. You see it very, very rarely indeed. Like, and you know, I go on a lot of, well, not recently actually, because I've been really busy with my masters, but I used to go on a lot of demonstrations. And basically, if I go on a demonstration, you get a lot of demonstrations in France. And, you know, if I go on a demonstration and people are waving the French flag, I know I'm in the wrong crowd. Put it that way. You know what I mean? It really is a symbol of the far right, you know, outside of that context. I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, in the football context, where basically it is literally a sort of like national sport, you know, it's completely fine to wave the French flag if you're there and doing that, I guess. But, like, you know, obviously, you know, we never would. You know, the you know, our kids were sort of like, you know, they were kind of like forced in a way to like learn the words of the national anthem at school and stuff. But you know, it's kind of done like very sort of like tongue in cheek. It's not taken seriously in any way. You know, it's like not the flag is something that, I mean, to actually, funnily enough, we were out for a walk today, seeing as it was 27 degrees, and we walked for a...
I hope you got sunburned.
We went up the park, and on the way back, I was with my son and Fiona, my wife, and we were at one of the flats we walked past. That was actually flying the flag off the balcony. And my son, he's 15, he thought it was hilarious. He was just like, oh my God, you know, vive la France, you know what I mean? It's just a joke, you know? So, like, yeah, when I came to Denmark, I mean, you know, and you know, that's how I feel about it personally. I would never, like, you know, wave a national flag.
No,
you know, not,
no, would
you
I.
Know, never, never, you know. No. And but yeah, when I came to Denmark and actually seeing the flag sort of in common sort of cultural use like that, it was quite affecting. You know what I mean? I've never seen that anywhere else really, apart from America. Like I said, you know, it's pretty common there, but certainly not in France. Absolutely not. No.
Well, we've had the sort of discussion before, really, about banal nationalism, where you know, what we're talking about now is kind of that. But I just think what was interesting about this whole Nike thing and the flag is that even though it is banal nationalism, it's still nationalism because, you know,
because
tampering with it obviously causes
it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. So again, the Danes have a very relaxed and they're very sort of humble in terms of their, you know, the kind of status in the world, the size of their country, what power they have, but they are very proud of their country. But yeah, if you mucked around with a Danish flag and then started to maybe change the colour of it or something
Danish football shirts,
people would go
absolutely change the colour of the flag.
Yeah, yeah, people
just
would
crazy.
Go nuts.
So crazy, yeah.
It's just quite, you know, everyone is kind of happy and dances around and the flag and it's all kind of chill. But yeah, but you don't change it, you know.
No, no.
So yeah, I think I just thought that was really quite interesting. And
yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'll be really interested to see what happens. I mean, like, you know, from what you said, it doesn't look like they're going to change it back.
No, they're not. No. Is they're going to wear it? It's done. I think they've already worn it. England have played some friendly games, and yeah. I think one of the England players, I can't remember who it is now, actually had his collar up. So you couldn't see the
the horror flag.
Yeah, the horror. But I'm not sure if he was if he plays football like that anyway with his collar up. Because no one else did. So it's done now. It's out. That's it. And it's just, and obviously it just leaves people on kind of the left shaking their head at the people on the right, what they're making a fuss about. And it just cements to the people on the right that the country is going to hell. And, it's people like Nike and all these woke people on the left who are sort of dragging it down, kicking and screaming. Yeah,
it's tough to be English, Mike.
It is. It is. Yeah, white and English. It's really hard work.
A hard place to be. And on that note,
yeah.
many thanks for listening to us again. This is our 6 months of talking about being foreign on the internet. And, you know, I really hope that you're going to stick around for more. If you want to send us an email, we are at
foreignpodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram
at foreignpodcast
and Facebook.
And just, you know, search Foreign Podcast on Facebook and we're there. So, yeah, there's no excuse. There's no excuses.
There's no excuse whatsoever. And to that end, please keep listening to us. And we will be back in 2 weeks with episode 15.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.